I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before. I must have done, I think. I have, I don't know what you would call it, but sometimes a word or a phrase would bring into my mind a song or a hymn. I must confess it's usually a secular one, and it is, again, on this occasion. In that first verse of John 13 we read, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." His hour had come. That's a phrase which occurs several times through John's Gospel and in a couple of the other Gospels as well. And there's a progression I'd like us to go through. First of all, you might be wondering, what's the song or the tune that brings to my mind? Well, it's a song that started its life in New Zealand before and during the First World War, but came sort of to international knowledge after the Second World War when it was recorded by Gracie Fields. And the song is "Now is the Hour." And it's worthwhile just going on, if I can remember it, for the first line. "Now is the hour for me to say goodbye. Soon I'll be sailing far across the sea. While I'm away, oh please remember me." And that, in my mind, can fit quite well what we're doing now. We're remembering Jesus, who's gone away, in one sense, for a long time. But of course, as we know, he's coming back soon. And as he said in that verse from John 13, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world. He was soon to leave it, going away. But while he was away, he called upon us to remember him. And that's what we want to do. Of course, there's another chapter which talks about such things. Chapter from Ecclesiastes. Which starts chapter 3. "There is a season, a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant," and so on. Through all the varying stages of life, there is a time for it to happen. Or, as we are thinking, there is an hour when it is right for things to happen. Now, the first one we come across in John's Gospel is, of course, in chapter 2, at the wedding at Cana in Galilee. We remember that Jesus' mother asks him to provide when the wine supply has run out. When the wine ran out, this is verse 3, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." It seems a bit of a paradox. At first he's saying, it's nothing to do with me. It's not my time for doing such things as this. But then his mother sort of pushes him and says, "Do whatever he tells you." And so he does this first miracle. We read in verse 11, "This, the first of his signs, his miraculous signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." We remember that what we looked at in the first half today he was again establishing or re-emphasizing the belief of his disciples when he brought Lazarus back from the dead. But this was the first time in which his glory was manifested and his disciples were able to see it and believe in him. The next time we hear of this is in chapter, hear this phrase is in chapter 7. This was the occasion when his brothers were wanting him to go down to the Feast of Tabernacles. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jewish Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, was at hand. So his brothers said, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be openly known. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Fear not, for his brothers did not believe in him." So it was seeming they wanted to, you know, they were saying to them, if you think you're going to be somebody, if you think you are the Messiah, then get down to Jerusalem and demonstrate that you are. They wanted this for their own assurance, as well as sort of wanting him to become known. Jesus said to them, verse 6, "My time, or my hour, has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go to the feast. I'm not going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come." So he's saying, no, it's not time for me to demonstrate my power, demonstrate that I am the resurrection and the life, as we were thinking earlier. You go on. But we know that he does actually go on, a bit like him and his mother Mary. He said, "My hour is not yet come to work this miracle." He's saying to his brothers, "My hour is not yet come for me to proclaim myself." But he does follow them quietly later on up to Jerusalem and is there speaking and becomes a word to some of his presence there at that time. Sufficiently so that he aroused the Pharisees and the scribes to desire to arrest him. So they were seeking to arrest him, verse 30 says. But no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. So this hour, which is to be Christ's, was not yet come. And so, although he aroused them, they didn't arrest him. Verse 31, yet many of the people believed in him. They said, "When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?" So in effect, he'd done what his brothers had wanted him to do. He'd also aroused the hostility of the religious leaders. But because it wasn't yet his hour, they didn't arrest him. The next time we hear this phrase used is in chapter 8. Which is a kind of repeat of what we've just read in chapter 7, verse 30. Here in chapter 8, verse 20, we read, "These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him, because his hour had not yet come." So we're getting an inclination of what he's talking about. That his hour was the time of his death, of his offering himself for the salvation of the world. Let's move on to chapter 12 now. verse 23. Looking at verse 20 for a start. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. This is after the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." So it was approaching the time when his mission, as it were, was to fulfill its first stage. The hour has come. Then we get the verse in chapter 13 we've already looked at. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. So here we get the confirmation that this is the hour that Jesus has been preparing for. The hour when he would be offered, would die, would be resurrected, and would depart to be with his Father in heaven. Just want to interject a verse from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 26, verse 18. This was the time when he was sending two of his disciples to prepare the Passover for him. He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So because his time was near, he wanted to celebrate the Passover with his disciples and start the pattern which we are shortly going to follow. Going back to John now. This time, chapter 16. This is in a bit of a different context. It's looking and comparing what is happening to the birth of a child. Verse 21. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Her hour has come. And so he felt, I guess, the same kind of anguish that he was going to suffer and he was going to hang upon a cross. He was going to be in great anguish and pain. But after that, when it was he was reborn, things would be different. He would rejoice that he had come back, as it were, in the world. Now, the successful saviour of the world in offering himself to pay the price of our salvation. Final one in John's Gospel in chapter 17. This is Jesus' prayer to his Father. When Jesus had spoken these words, He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And so, those words of his prayer bring him prepared to endure the pain, looking forward to the joy that was to follow. Going now once more to Matthew's Gospel, this time chapter 24. We read in verse 36. A reminder to us, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. This was when he had been asked, when would the kingdom come, basically? And he's saying, nobody knows when that hour will be. And this, of course, again is helpful and a comfort to us, knowing that it will happen, but not knowing precisely when, keeping us expectant always of his near return. What's the lesson from these things? Yes, we come now to remember Jesus as he guided us, and as our perhaps irreverent look at that song indicates to us, to remember him while he's far away. But Paul sent to us a message which we find in Romans, which perhaps sums up and gives us an exhortation for the moment. Romans 13, verse 11. In the earlier parts of this chapter, Paul has given guidance on the conduct of disciples. Summing it up in verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time. The hour has come for you to awake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime. And then verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So the call which Paul makes long ago, which was even in his days, he's saying, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. He wouldn't have expected it to still be so 2,000 years later. But nonetheless, it's true for us now. Salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. So now, if we've fallen asleep, he says to us, now is the time to wake up and be ready for the return of our Lord and to lead lives following in that understanding as we await his return. So let us remember him as he guided us in the bread and in the wine.